WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
I'm a perky disco turkey because I love to dance. I know this may seem bizarre. It's the coolest thing to do. That's why I'm such a star.
Side to side. And hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our good friends over at MBGFilms.YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us really on Twitch, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, and Gerwick.net, thank you so much for tuning in. Yes, this is The Rack, your favorite show, hopefully. Crossing my fingers on that, but we're doing our Turkey Day Spectacular here in the States because, well, it's Thanksgiving, and our show always falls on Thanksgiving, so we like to do something a little special for everybody. If you're outside the United States or you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thursday. I hope you're having a wonderful day, and it's beautiful wherever you are. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble.
Gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble.
That's why we're here, right?
That's what we're, what a lot of people are doing here in the United States today is the gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble, because, well, you do a little gobble, gobble, that's the turkey, and then you do the wobble, wobble after you, you know,
once you get
eat
a few,
the turkey.
Once you get a few inside you, I mean, and you try to do the gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble dance, I mean, it may not go well for you, so just sit on the couch and do the dance, because we don't need anyone falling over while you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, please do not try to do the gobble gobble wobble wobble dance while you're full or intoxicated with any type of adult beverage. This is your disclaimer. Thank you very much. We have a lot to talk about on this podcast. Yes, because this is recorded, because Rock and I, we're enjoying our Thanksgivings with our families. Hopefully you are as well as you're listening to this. And so we won't. And so, yeah, we're recorded. We're not live right now, but we will be live next week, right?
Yeah, we'll be live every Thursday night. Mostly for in December.
Yeah. The holidays always kind of sort of like...
I haven't looked at the calendar to go, when does things fall on a what day?
I think we're actually going to get lucky in the sense that we will be able to do the Jingle All the Rack live this year. Hint, hint, wink, wink. We can also do Pop Goes the Rack too, I think, live. I don't think it falls on a Thursday this year. But we'll have to see on that. Schedule's pending. As I said, we have a lot to get into. We are talking Survivor Series. We're going to sprinkle a little Raw and SmackDown in with it because we do have a couple notes. Since we didn't do a post-show on Monday night, we're going to sprinkle some Raw in there for you too, right?
Exactly.
So I say we don't waste any more time and we get right into Survivor Series. What do you say?
Sounds good. So let's talk about the show. This is a show where if you thought a week ago you knew everything you would see and the people involved, you were wrong. A week ago, or 10 days ago, it was supposed to be AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar in your main event. That, mm-hmm. That didn't happen. It was supposed to be Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey. That didn't happen. there are certain people in different Survivor Series matches that you, in the women's match, where it's like, hey, we're gonna see Natalya and Ruby Riott in a match. They weren't in it. They are still fighting over the Neidhart glasses. So we got Bayley and Sasha in the match. So it's like, if you thought you knew what you were going to see, you really didn't. It felt like whatever that show was when they had the mumps.
Kind of. Sort of. Very, very, very close. General overall impression of this show, I would say, was it was a decent offering. It was fine. There weren't a lot of huge surprises in this show, I would say. It wasn't like TakeOver. TakeOver, again, was an excellent offering. And there, granted, there weren't a lot of surprises on TakeOver, but just the way the whole thing was presented, I feel like, was a stronger offering. But again, they only had to contend with four matches. Obviously, Survivor Series had way more they had to deal with and a lot more talent. So you can't judge one for the other based just solely on that. But yeah, this was, the best I could say is this was there.
Here's an argument that's not going to be popular. You can say, when it comes right down to it, Survivor Series will be the more memorable show than TakeOver was. Not saying it was a better show. You'll just remember the moment better and more than you would the TakeOver. Because as we talked about on the TakeOver show, good stuff, but the longevity of it probably won't hold up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But Charlotte Ronda, you're going to be talking about for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that. That was probably one of the higher points in this show. But we want to talk a little bit about the pre-show, by the way. What? Lars Sullivan coming soon to a WWE television show near you, main roster. So go, Lars.
Yeah. So
please send him to SmackDown.
Yeah, send him to SmackDown. Here's the thing. Do we really need to talk about the pre-show? Because WWE is not counting it.
It counts. Okay. Xavier Woods is going to die on this hill because, damn it, 6-1.
Here's your tweet of the week for the week. All right, everyone, go read Xavier Woods' Twitter. Everything WWE posted on Monday, he replied to with 6-1, 6-1, 6-1. So those are your tweets of the week. 6-1, 6-1, 6-1.
And when he came out tonight on SmackDown, he was wearing a 6-1 shirt. So go Xavier, go. Yes. So we're just going to set this up and make this sort of easy for everybody. This is the only match SmackDown won was the tag team match on the pre-show. Every other match on this show, Monday Night Raw, won. Handily, I might add.
Yeah, yeah. This is the one in 6-1, like the one in... anyway.
No, we don't talk about that. Which I kind of want to discuss Rock sort of doing that. I'm not sure I'm okay with it. I'm not sure if I like, and I know me being okay with it has no bearing on it whatsoever, but it's like, it made the show just really blah to me. Like, there's no excitement in it. The fact that you just have Raw win match after match after match. And I'm not sure if that was more of a statement than what WWE intended it to be. Whether, you know, Raw is the premier show, and so we're going to have them beat SmackDown, even though everybody kind of likes SmackDown better. I don't know how I feel about, you know, just like Raw taking everything except the pre-show match.
And them not counting it was sort of a thing, because reports came out the next day, it's like, Vince McMahon wanted Raw to clean sweep everything, including the pre-show, but somewhere down the line, it didn't get filtered.
Yeah, apparently somebody missed the memo somewhere, and SmackDown won one match, and so they basically have cheated them out of that win, which is really crappy.
Now,
it's like,
now makes me wonder, hold on, was Vince even at Survivor Series?
Maybe.
Because if he was, then it had to go through him. Part of me thinks, because he wasn't at the previous SmackDown either, he was at home or whatever, and doing a via conference call. Part of me thinks he may have not been there for Survivor Series, didn't want to fly all the way out to LA, which you understand.
The man is in his 70s.
Right. So, makes me wonder if... Like, if he was in Gorilla, he would have saw it. So, to me, he wasn't there, which is why things happened the way they did. That's sort of my thinking on it.
It's entirely possible, but yeah. I mean, the fact that they did not let SmackDown keep this victory sucks. So, we're going to talk about it. We're going to recognize it because it's a well-deserved win. You have Team Raw, Rude and Gable, The Revival, The B-Team, Little House Party, Lucha House Party, there we go. Ascension taking on Team SmackDown, The Usos, New Day, Sanity, Colognes, and The Club. Well, looking, no offense to the B team, by the way, just looking at the two teams, you're damn right SmackDown won.
I mean, okay. One, you got it right when you said Little House Party because they're all in on it. Okay, cool thing. Cool thing about this. They had a Fortnite llama.
We did.
A Fortnite llama.
It's penetrating its way into WWE. I want my WWE skins, damn it.
Number two, this matchup sucked for not 70% of it until you got down to the final 14. Because then it got really good with New Day, Usos, Revival, and Root and Gable. It's not saying the other teams suck. It's a lot of people. It's 20 people. It's going to be, it's a lot.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's...
Like, you had the Revival doing dives, like, what?
Yeah, I mean, you had to get some people out of there before this would get good. And I don't even think they all fit on the aprons, did they?
No. Like, at what point, Kalisto got replaced because they sold him with a new injury, so they put in Metal League instead of Kalisto halfway through. It was like, oh, okay, whatever. That's apparently Lucha House Party rules. Question, what's a positivity spank?
A positivity spank is when Big E takes you over his knee and he, you know, raises his hand in the air to summon the positivity of the surrounding crowd, and then he collects that in his hand and brings it down across your ass, and he fills you with the positivity that surrounds you.
Okay. Good answer.
You weren't expecting me to have that answer, were you?
No, I wasn't. Oh, I really wasn't.
Prepared.
She came prepared.
I can't speak on this show, but goddammit, I can BS like a champ.
She had the Family Feud, good Family Feud answer. Good answer. Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer.
The Usos won it for SmackDown Live, giving them their one and only win on this show. And throughout the show, all right, I'm thinking as Rawls winning all their matches, it's like I'm trying to come up with a scenario where, okay, now at this point, like, after a couple of the early matches, it's like AOP and The Bar. It's like, okay, here's where SmackDown turns it around with The Bar. And it wasn't like, no.
No.
Because my theory is like, you tie it up. You tie the whole thing up, 3-3, and then you do a surprise main event, which would have been cool. It would have been interesting. Like, you take one guy from Raw, one guy from SmackDown, and you just throw them out there. It's a tiebreaker. Never happened.
Mm-mm. Never even got close.
Never. No, it never got close. Never did. But let's get to the main show.
All right, so on your main show, opening up the show is the Survivor Series elimination match for the ladies. Team Raw is Mickie James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Sasha Banks, and Bayley, who remember replaced Natty and Ruby Riott because they just can't get along with each other. Taking on Team SmackDown, which is Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and Mandy Rose. Okay, so I am super conflicted on Nia Jax because WWE has taken this whole she broke Becky Lynch's face and is running with it and using it as a way to get her heat and having her sort of embrace this as a heel. And it's like, on one hand, I'm like, wow, way to go, because they almost never do that with people. Like, something accidental will happen like that, whether it's good or it's terrible, and they won't seize it to use that as a way to develop the character. So it's like the fact that they've done that with Nia Jax, that's really great. You know, it's like bravo to the writing team for jumping all over that. However, I just have this problem where it's like Nia's screw up basically cost us, or not even basically, did cost us Becky versus Ronda.
And it could cost us Becky Lynch in general in terms of her position. Yes, she is over. Yes, she's going to be mega over for a long time. But at some point, she's going to cool off when she's not on TV. Like, I understand her not being on TV this week because, you know, it's the holiday week. It's fine. But at some point, she's got to get back in the mix and sort of be present again. Because, yeah. Because she's only getting hotter and hotter on television because she's there on television. When she disappears, it's like you lose it. Just like a certain cult leader who's lost it because he's not on TV anymore, because he hasn't been on TV since August 13th. If you haven't found him, please contact us, because we kind of want to see him again. Maybe Lindsay wants to see him again.
I miss him, and I'm a little worried at this point that Baron Corbin and Stephanie McMahon aren't even the slight bit concerned that somebody hasn't shown up for work in over 3 months, and nobody generally knows where he is, and all he's tweeting about is being in an insane asylum in third person as another human being, as like another character in addition to him being himself and the guy that is actually in charge of all this, running all this. So, you know, it's like, you kind of are worried about him a little bit, and you're like, shouldn't somebody, like, I don't know, go out, check on him, make sure he's okay, do something? You know, shouldn't somebody be concerned that this guy with supernatural powers and a penchant for mischief, mayhem, and general evil intentions of taking over the world is missing? Like, shouldn't somebody, you know, go look into that? I don't know. I mean, I get it. You don't want to send anybody else out to the farm because, you know, they may or may not come back, as we learned when Bray debuted. But, you know, it is what it is at this point. So, yeah, if Bray Wyatt, if you were in the sound of my voice, please get back on my TV. I miss you very much.
So now that we got that out of the way.
3 months. He's been gone 3 months. Now we have that out of the way.
Back to the match.
Let's talk about this match.
First, it's awesome to see Alexa Bliss.
She looked good.
And then Nia Jax got nuclear heat. Anytime she got taken down, everyone was cheering. Like, the best spot was when Mandy Rose got in the ring and gave the running knee to Nia Jax to knock her out a little bit. The crowd erupted for Mandy Rose. The biggest pop she's ever gotten. It was great.
It was great. But yeah, it's not for the right reason, so that makes it slightly less great. Because again, people are so against Nia because of what happened.
Yeah, it's not like we're the best sign, I don't know if it was on at the pay-per-view or it was on Raw. I think it was on Raw. As I'm pulling it up here to read, Nia, I feel compelled to stress that we were not booing because of your effective heel work. We are booing because you're simply awful. Won't go as far as saying simply awful, but we're not booing because of your heel work. We're booing because you knocked out Becky Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like this is entirely, like, her taking advantage of this is not her. This is the writers telling her, hey, look, we're going to run with this. But her knocking out Becky Lynch, she's 100% at fault for that, whether it was an accident or not. I've seen conflicting, you know, people saying, oh yeah, it was totally an accident, and everybody being like, no, if you watch it, no, she meant to do that. So, it's hard to say. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say it was completely accidental. But yeah, she's behind the fact that we're not getting Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch after we've been through this month-long or so feud between the two where they've exchanged barbs, they've beaten each other up. I mean, it's been absolutely great between Ronda and Becky, and now we're not going to get it. And so it's like, we're kind of booing Nia because it's like, you cost us that. You single-handedly, as I make a fist motion, cost us that. So yeah, again, just feel a little awkward about Nia. But
the matchup itself was fine. You had Tamina eliminate Naomi, Carmella eliminate Tamina, Mandy get rid of Mickie James after Sonya did all the work.
Of course.
Bayley eliminated Carmella, Sasha eliminated Mandy, but Bayley and Sonya got counted out. Asuka eliminated Sasha after Nia Jax steals the spotlight, shows Sasha move off the top rope, and Asuka was able to eliminate her. Then Nia Jax came in, leg drop, Samoan drop. 1, 2, 3, Nia Jax is your winner.
There you go.
And sole survivor.
Alexa Bliss was happy.
She was. She said how Raw they've worked out their issues. They're fine now. Good.
Good. I'm glad. It's good to know.
The key word was sole survivor. They use that a lot on the show. And they don't know what the word soul means. I was ranting about this last Survivor Series. Probably Survivor Series before that too. They don't understand what this word soul means.
What?
It means one. One person. Anyway, I digress.
You digress. Moving on from that, you have your U.S. champion taking on your IC champion. That's right. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Seth Rollins in a champion versus champion match. No titles were on the line. This was a very, very slow built match. They got time for this, but the last little bit of this match was so good.
The amount of good false finishes in this one. And we were completely wrong about this one. We both said on the show last week, Dean Ambrose is going to get involved. He was nowhere to be found, which made the match really good.
Yeah, I'm really happy that they kept Dean out of this and let Seth and Shinsuke do what they needed to do. And it's like they continued the Dean Ambrose stuff on Raw, where we saw Dean sort of play a cat and mouse game with Seth all night, where Seth was chasing him all around the building until finally Dean came out in front of the crowd. And Seth chased Dean down, except, well, Dean was ready for him and beat him up, so leaving Seth Rollins laying. But yeah, I'm glad they kept Dean out of this, and he was not involved at all, because this was worth every minute it was on.
I need to address something about from what happened with Raw, too, because it's been on the internet and people are complaining about it. The cancer stuff. It's wrestling, people.
It's wrestling, but there is a line.
They're doing everything they are doing with his approval. They're not stepping over any line that he doesn't know about. Just want everyone to be clear on that. Whether you're offended or not, the person with it isn't.
Yeah, and that's fine. As long as the person with it isn't, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like there is a line. And I think it's more an offense. It's offensive because it's Dean saying it, right? Like, ever since the inception of the Shield, even during Seth's turn, all of it, that constant was Dean and Roman. They were the two blood brothers. They were the two riding around together. They were, you know, having all these crazy adventures. They were virtually married. And so, like, to hear Dean Ambrose say what he said on Raw about Roman, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, what?
But at the same, but at the same point, he did not mention the C word. He was very deliberate on how he said it, which was good. Mm-hmm. It was a subtle dig, which was good. We'll see if they go any further. They may, but what they're doing right now is okay.
Yeah, it's just, I think they're walking a really fine line with it right now, but as long as Roman is aware and has consented to it and is fine with it, then there's no issue. But if they're doing something and they step out of line and Roman is like, whoa, hey, wait a minute, that's not okay, then yeah, that's when it's an issue.
Right.
So.
Anyway, back to this matchup. First, we need to talk about one other thing in it, because Seth got the win. Of course, because we're all on Shinsuke's blue outfit.
He looked like a boss.
It's weird seeing him in all blue.
It's weird seeing him in all blue, but I like how he got new gear for this, just specifically to wear the blue gear, because, you know, the Team SmackDown shirt was not enough for Shinsuke Nakamura. Oh, no, he had to go all blue.
Yep.
Like a boss. Anyway, up next we have AOP taking on the Bar again, champion versus champion match, no titles on the line. This was a really solid contest. I enjoyed this just because it was a fight up until a point. You had Drake with AOP and Big Show with Cesaro and Sheamus. And well, at one point, Big Show gets a hold of Drake and Drake gets a little scared. And he ends up sort of wetting himself on international television in front of millions of people. But it's enough to cause a distraction to Sheamus and Cesaro. And oh, hey, look, AOP picks up the victory. Because AOP gives a whole new meaning to that.
They were chanting AOP. AOP. P. On television.
And they continued it on Raw, making fun of Drake for it.
They had something with him.
I'm really kind of upset that they did this. And not upset in the sense that I'm never going to watch again. I'm just... You're right. They had something with him. He was completely serious. He was... You completely bought him as being able to manage the AOP. And then it's like you have him do this. You write him doing this. And it's like you just killed all his credibility in one shot. Which I don't know if that was what was meant to be. But yeah, it's like AOP and Drake Younger were doing wonderful things together, and then this happens.
Drake Maverick, not Drake Younger.
No, I'm sorry, Drake Maverick.
He was a credible manager and slash general manager. Big Show did not know who he was 2 weeks ago, and I think that played a part in it, because then Vince probably found out about those comments and went, hey, let's make fun of the dude. And, well, that's what we got.
Which is so stupid.
Yeah, it really is. Can't wait for them to continue it on... You know, through the holidays and other pissing gimmicks.
I hope not. I really hope this doesn't turn into the natty farting gimmick thing.
Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Oh, no. So...
What's next?
Moving on from the awkwardness, and speaking of 205 Live, after this...
Great placement, by the way.
Great placement for this. That's terrible. Why would you do this to these men? Cruiserweight Championship is on the line as Buddy Murphy takes on Mustafa Ali. They got crazy in this. They got crazy.
Okay.
There were some dangerous things going on in this.
I said this on Sunday. I need to reiterate here. Everything the Cruiserweights do is fine. They're spot monkeys. They like to do dangerous flips. Do them in the ring. There's no need to do Spanish flies off the announce table onto little soft padding. Do them in the ring. That is where you're supposed to do things like that. That's why that's the safest spot for you. Doing them on the floor, you're going to injure yourself. Stop doing stupid, ridiculous bumps for the sake of doing bumps every week on the floor. I know you're trying to steal the show, but the same cool bums will be so cool in the ring. Stop doing them on the floor. That said, this was a good match. Buddy Murphy retained. Good match. I just fear for their safety sometimes. That's just me.
Yeah, it was a little concerning, some of the stuff. Like, I would say a handful on the outside, that's really cool. That's fine. You know, it's very appropriate. But to do as much as these guys did out on the floor, it's like, that's really, really dangerous. And I'm sure they were fine. They were completely well protected. They talked it all out. So I'm sure it was all okay.
But at some point, it's going to catch up to them. And that's my problem with it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's my biggest concern.
Yeah. This was great. This was wonderful. In the end, you saw Buddy Murphy pick up the victory to retain his title. So congratulations to him. And while Mustafa was a little down, as he's not sure where to go from here, so we'll have to see what he does.
What's next?
Up next, we have your men's Survivor Series elimination match, where you have Team Raw, which is Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley, with Leo Rush taking on...
You're wrong. It's my man, Bobby Lashley.
See, I don't have the smoothness to pull that off.
Go on, try it. My man, Bobby Lashley.
No.
Come on, do it.
No. I am not that smooth.
My man, Bobby Lashley.
I accept my squareness, and we're moving on. So anyway, they took on Team SmackDown, which was The Miz, Shane McMahon, Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, and Samoa Joe. And, well, Joe being Joe, he was starting stuff, he was trying to pick fights, he was just being himself. And unfortunately, he was the first one out of this match. He was in and out super quick, so I kind of wonder if he's still a little hurt.
I don't think so. We saw it in the first match. Naomi was out in a minute and a half. It's just what they do. They get someone out really quick. That's all.
Did it have to be Joe?
Apparently.
Damn it. But we like Joe. Maybe that's why, because we like Joe.
Anyway,
we saw Team SmackDown dispatched relatively quickly once Braun Strowman got in the ring.
He eliminated everyone. But the story of the match, and they played up on SmackDown Live, was Miz cheerleading Shane McMahon to do stupid things. Shane did his big vintage dive through the table. And then Miz is the cheerleader. Hey, Shane, go do coast to coast. So he does, to Dolph Ziggler. And then later on, it's like, hey, Shane, do it again. Do it again. Second time, he got swatted down by Braun Strowman.
Like you do.
And that's where Braun Strowman took over and eliminated Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio, Miz, and then Shane. At one point, it's like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if Shane McMahon defied the odds?
And
was the best in the world. Soul Survivor.
I remember sitting here watching it thinking, oh my god, they're going to do it. They're going to make Shane the Soul Survivor. And then Braun eliminated him. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. They're not going to do that. But yeah, there was a second. There was really a second where you're like, is Shane going to come back and win? No.
Because here's how it was in my head. I had it all planned out. You have Braun and Drew, because they've been feuding and whatever throughout the match and for the few weeks. Like, they could brawl on the outside and eliminate each other. Double count it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Bobby Lashley would slip on a banana peel, and Shane would win.
It's not how that works.
No, Braun destroyed Shane in 30 seconds and won the match.
So, there you go.
So Raw continues to win.
Raw continues to win. It's kind of a theme. Now we're going to kind of get to the meat and potatoes of this pay-per-view, which is Charlotte Flair taking on Ronda Rousey. As we said at the top of the show, as we said the last couple Thursdays, Becky Lynch is out due to injuries to her face, thanks to Nia Jax.
Oh, hold on, really quick. I want to circle back to the Shane match, and then we'll get to this really quick.
Okay.
So I want to talk about the one thing that happened on SmackDown. Miz wanted to team up with Shane to be the best tag team in the world.
Of course he did.
And then they lost to the Bryant brothers.
Like you do.
Like you do. Anyway, now back to awesome Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey, go.
So this was a quick substitute in terms of Charlotte Flair taking over for Becky Lynch. There was virtually no build for this, but that's okay, because these two kicked the crap out of each other. And this was, by far, I feel like, one of Ronda's best showings, if not the best showing for her. This was the most challenged, I feel like, she was since she debuted. They went for a while. There was a lot of back and forth.
The key to this matchup is they kept pace with one another. There was no one on offense for more than a couple minutes at a point. It went back and forth, the entire match, which made it a competitive fight. And that was what made this matchup really good. It was competitive all the way through.
It was. It absolutely was. This was a joy to watch. But in the end, Ronda started to slightly get the upper hand. Charlotte was tired. She'd had enough. And, well, Charlotte whips out a Singapore cane. She smacks the crap out of Ronda with it. So Ronda ends up winning by DQ. So this is by far the shadiest Raw win of the night. And then Charlotte proceeds to go postal on Ronda Rousey using tables, chairs, Singapore canes, you name it, on her after the match in a post-match beatdown, which I'm sure Becky Lynch approved of.
There was a natural selection on the chair. Charlotte destroyed officials, which on SmackDown Live she got fined $100,000 for doing.
Bit much. Just a bit much on that.
I mean, that's not even, like, I mean, all on here is like, we approve of your beatdown, and then it's like, but we're fining you $100,000, and like, it would have been better if it was like a realistic amount of money. It's like, oh, we're just doing $100,000, and it's like, it's an over-top bid, and it's like, no one bought it, and it just sort of, I don't know, it was a little over top. She also attempted to break the neck of Ronda Rousey, which ended with, thank you, Charlotte, chance. And Ronda looking all sad and hurt. And she sold it really well after the match.
She did, and interestingly enough, the crowd kind of turned on her a little bit and started to boo her, because, oh, hey, look, yeah, you're this big badass, but you just got beat down pretty bad by Charlotte Flair. And yeah, this was great. This whole thing from top to bottom was great. Loved every second of this. Charlotte was completely the right choice to put in there. At least I feel like, I know there were people who wanted other choices in there, but what this did is, if they wanted to later down the line do Charlotte and Ronda again, you have your setup.
You left the setup in there, and I was hesitant to put her in there because I figured Ronda was going to win clean. She didn't win clean, so I was fine with that. The follow-up on Raw was done well. She wasn't booed. She talked about how she got her ass kicked. She's coming for Nia. She's coming for Charlotte. That's all fine. She wrestled hurt. She defended her title hurt. She proved that, you know, on her worst day, she's still good. I'd like the follow-up.
Yeah, this was good. Everything about this was great. Look forward to Becky Lynch's return, and hopefully we can get a Becky versus Ronda match, but this was a completely acceptable substitute for Becky Lynch and versus Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, it was the best match of the show.
And then we get to the final match of the show, which is Brock Lesnar taking on Daniel Bryan, champion versus champion. This was really, really slow in the start. This was Brock being Brock for about 10 minutes, not even, and then Daniel Bryan coming back and hitting all his high spots, all his moves. We had a ref bump, there was a low blow, a running knee, and that earned Bryan a 2 count. He also got some nice submissions on Brock.
It was really good. My favorite part was, it was on the beatdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Brock goes, good night, everybody. It's the F5. It was classic Brock being a dick. It was awesome.
It was great. I mean, I'm not that into Brock Lesnar, but it's like, yeah, okay, that was good.
Smart-ass Brock is cool. And Brock sold for Bryan.
He did. He really did. He made Bryan look like a boss, especially with his submission holds, because Brock was just like, what the F? Like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
I can't get out of this. Oh, no, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
He was turning purple at one point.
He was. So yeah, so he did a really great job of selling for Bryan and making Bryan look great, and Bryan did a wonderful job for Brock. I mean, the two really did work very, very well together, which was good to see. But in the end, sadly, Daniel Bryan was not able to break the Raw streak, and, well, Raw goes home with only one loss to their name.
Yeah.
So, like I said, overall, this was a good show. This was fine. The Charlotte stuff was really good. The Daniel stuff, once he got going, was good. Everything else was there. It was all right. It was perfectly good. But it wasn't like anything where you sit here and go, oh, wow, remember when they did this and this and this and this? None of that. But yeah, I mean, this was a perfectly good pay-per-view. I don't really have any problem with it.
No, I don't have any real problem with it. It was enjoyable. Like I said at the start, Takeover was a fantastic show. We're going to talk more about Survivor Series going forward than we are Takeover. That's basically the statement on that. Now, before we go, we need to address a couple of things.
Do we?
We do, which means I have to hit this.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Okay.
Because a couple have happened.
Yes.
That we need to talk about. So we have former WCW champion David Arquette with a neck injury after doing a death match on an indie show because he's an idiot.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He sliced his neck on a light tube. It's super gruesome. It's just awful. I'm glad he's going to be okay. But yeah, it's like, David, honey, you are too old for those kinds of shenanigans. Please go home.
Jim Ross with a concussion and two black eyes.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He suffered a fall over last Friday.
Poor JR. Oh my gosh.
But here's the thing. He went to the Oklahoma game the next day.
Like you do, damn it.
Boomer Sooner.
Boomer Sooner, boss up, JR, jeez.
Cody Rhodes will be undergoing knee surgery in the coming weeks.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Feel better, Cody.
And then Braun Strowman, apparent elbow injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
They did the angle on Monday Night Raw. Okay, here's the thing. You don't need a 40-minute match and then do it a beatdown angle. You could have saved us some, like, 20 minutes of time.
You could have, but this is Raw.
This is Raw, and it needed to fill 3 hours. Braun Strowman apparently has some sort of elbow injury that he will be having surgery for in the coming days, which will determine his future on Monday Night Raw, whether he'll be out a couple weeks or a long term. He's currently scheduled to fight Baron Corbin at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs in a TLC match. If Braun wins, he gets his title shot at the Royal Rumble, and if Baron wins, he's the permanent general manager. Baron loses, he gets, well, stripped of his power. So we'll see how that goes. If Braun's able to work the show.
Yeah, we'll see how Braun is. This is really bad timing for Braun Strowman to get hurt, simply because of how many people they have out right now. He's just one more that they're adding to the list. So hopefully he's not on too long and he feels better soon.
So that's your injury roundup, and I think that's our show. Oh, before we go, one other thing. We should congratulate TJ Omega for winning WTR Fantasy.
Thank God that's over. Thank utter God.
That slaughter's over.
That slaughter is over. Oh my God, my team. What the hell? Just what happened? I had a really good team, and they just imploded in on themselves. And
basically, they never showed up for work.
They never showed up for work. Like, they just vanished. All of them. They either got hurt or they vanished. I don't even know what happened. Like, it was just, it's like I picked Sanity because Sanity was on TV. They were gone. Like, right after I picked them, Bray Wyatt vanished. Shayna Baszler, I think, was the only one that was consistent. And for the love of God, Pete Dunne, I think, showed up more than anybody.
And then you picked up the B team after, on their winning streak, and then, well.
We don't talk about that.
Well, then they sort of went on a losing streak and left television because you picked them up. But I digress. In terms of pick 'em for this show, I went 5-3. Random went 5-3. You, not random, the 8-ball went 5-3. You went 4-4.
Hey, I'm 500.
You're 500. But I think that's it for the Thanksgiving wobble wobble, or gobble gobble wobble wobble spectacular
get
special.
Get it right.
The gobble gobble wobble wobble Thanksgiving special. Got it right
there
on the third try.
There you go. That's it. So you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday Night Midnight-ish at CB Radio. We'll be doing the greatest tag team of all time in the Grand The Great Debate. CBRadioLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. There is no Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday because of the Grey Cup, because the Calgary Stampeders are in it, and Tim's going to go watch the game. So no show. Monday night, we'll be back for the Raw post-show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack. The Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Make sure you catch us with Fortnite with Friends on twitch.tv/WTRLive. Any other podcast or whatever we do, whether it's video game or podcast, it's twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow and subscribe, because it's awesome if you do. Make sure you follow. And all that fun stuff. A Decade Plus One is coming on December 1st for CB Radio, so check that out. And yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Well, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD. Don't forget to check out our awesome sponsors, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and fightfic.com. So, again, wishing everybody that celebrates it a very happy and healthy Turkey Day. I hope you enjoy your day. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the fun. Enjoy your friends, your family, whoever you're hanging out with. I hope you have a great time. And hey, if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, that's okay, because I hope you do all the same, just on a regular Thursday, and you have an awesome one. So, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble special for The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be back next week with the regular show. Till then, bye!
Now we turkey disco to mighty fine dance, and we're proud of how we moved. It was so much fun, we don't want to be done, so let's give it one more groove. Step side to side, reach high and low, wiggle your shoulders and make a pose. Repeat side to side, high and low, shake your feathers and point your toes. Now say gobble, gobble, gobble.